Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and producer for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everybody. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety, and I'm in Orlando, Florida. And the other day, I was over at a meeting at the Orlando airport there with the FAA, and Jim Porter was speaking, and one of the guests stood up in the meeting and started talking about something that was near and dear to me for years and years with SSA. And the young man's name was Rich Owens. Rich, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Obi. It's nice to be here today.
And that is O-W-E-N. There's no S on that. Is that correct?
No, there's just one of me. Thank God they're Obi.
Okay, yeah. One of the things you're doing is you're working daily or weekly out at Seminole Lake Glider Port there. What is Seminole Lake Glider Port? What do y'all do out there?
Seminole Lake Glider Port is a commercial glider operation here in Central Florida. They provide glider flight instruction for students just starting out in aviation, and they also provide glider add-on ratings for people that already have a power rating. They give rides to the tourists that are in the local area, and for the folks that have their own gliders, they provide towing services 6 days a week.
Okay, well, what is it? How old do you have to be to I know that it seems like it's younger that you can fly sailplanes compared to power planes. Is that correct?
For sailplane flying, to solo a sailplane, you have to be at least 14 years old. To get your private rating in a sailplane, you have to be 16 years old. Doesn't take very much time, and for those of you that already have your power rating, all it takes is 10 flights and a check ride, and you don't have to take a written exam.
that was the very next question that I was talking about, because a lot of power plane pilots say, well, I really don't need to do that. That's just a fun deal and all. And of course, you and I disagree with that completely. What are the benefits for a power plane pilot getting a sailplane experience?
Well, I believe the best thing is it'll make you a better and safer pilot. Better, if you're already a pilot, it will definitely sharpen your stick and rudder skills. Since most of your flying in a glider is spent looking out the front window, you'll get a lot better at picking up other aircraft. It'll sharpen your lookout skills. If you're not a pilot, it'll definitely start you out on the right track. You'll learn how to fly the aircraft, make better decisions, and it will certainly make getting a power rating a lot easier.
You know, I guess when I was talking with you and Jim the other night, one of the things that sailplane flying and seaplane flying taught me was a lot about the weather. You know, what to do about the weather, how to read the weather, and how to actually fly in it. Wouldn't you agree with that?
You're exactly right there, Obi. Being able to read the sky is what really makes cross-country and gliders possible. So you take a look at the topography, you know, the different types of clouds. You see the effect that a lake or a forest would have on the generation of thermals. You take a look at farmers' fields, dust devils, where you'd get great lift to be able to have the glider climb. People don't realize that gliders always go down, and the only reason that we can climb is that we're going down in an air mass that's going up faster than what the glider is coming down.
And now, sailplane flying in Central Florida, people say, well, that's more or less flat. There's not much lift there compared to the mountains. But, of course, when I was flying, we were flying year-round. Do y'all have a seasonal high or a low or something, or is it pretty much year-round?
So flying in Central Florida pretty much is year-round. Every month we'll have definitely some great days to go soaring. However, for cross-country flying where you want to fly 150 miles to 300 miles, that season normally starts around the November time frame and goes to the second week in June. After June, we have the wet season, so we have our afternoon thunderstorms. And it's not uncommon if you're coming back from the Florida-Georgia border to get to the Orlando area and have a thunderstorm in the local area. Those cases, you might have to land at Ocala or Dunellen and send the trailer up to pick up your glider.
And I'm sure for the power plane pilots and for the non-pilots, when you're talking about flying back and forth to Georgia in a glider, that's just unbelievable. And for those that are listening throughout the country there, come into Central Florida to go to one of the theme parks or something like that. I guess if they wanted to, they could run out there, whether they're a pilot or not, and you were mentioning you give sightseeing rides or something like that, or fun rides, or you could work on your glider rating. How long would it take if somebody was coming in on vacation to obtain a glider rating if they were, say, already a power plane pilot?
It'll take under 3 days. The 10 flights don't really take that long. There's not an hour requirement. So most of the times you'll go up and do just takeoffs and landings. You don't actually have to demonstrate your ability to thermal in a glider to get your rating. That normally comes after you get the rating, and it's a really easy skill to pick up. But 3 days is really simple. It's 2 days of flight instruction, and then just a early morning flight examiner flight that normally is comprised of three launches. The first launch will be going up doing a stall series and some turns, and then one of the next two launches will be a simulated rope break, where as you're being towed behind a Piper Pawnee, the instructor will release the rope at a lower altitude, and just you have to demonstrate that you can land safely back at the airfield from a lower altitude. And then just one other flight, do some turns and talk to the examiner, and then you've got your new rating.
Well, that sounds like a fun time, an enjoyable time. And of course, I heard you say stressing safety throughout all three of those flights there. I guess y'all are working with the Soaring Society of America, and I guess if you really get into it, you can get into some competition there. And when we come back from the break in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk more about SSA and about the seniors coming up in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, Obi.
Now let's rejoin Obi Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
And this is Obi Young again with Managing Safety. And today our guest is Rich Owen, and there's no S on that, so I'm real dyslexic sometimes when I'm typing up things, Rich, so you just have to forgive me about things. We were talking about in the break there about the seniors, and you'd mentioned something about decision making. What were we talking about there?
Well, one of the reasons that I like gliding so much, and why I think being a glider pilot will certainly make you a safer pilot, is that during a flight in a powered airplane, you're not making a lot of decisions over a short course of time. You're not making a decision every minute. When you're in a glider, though, you're having to manage the energy state of the aircraft because you have altitude, you have airspeed, and if you're trying to go from point A to point B, there's quite a few decisions that you have to make. Where am I going to stop for lift? What am I going to do if I can't find lift? If I get down low, where am I going to go to? Is there a private airport? Is there a field nearby? So you're constantly making decisions, and you get very aware of decisions. And also you get very aware of when you're starting to get into trouble. I think powered pilots, they start flying in some weather that might be turning a little bit bad, and sometimes they find themselves well into the mess. They don't realize they're getting into trouble until it's actually too late.
Well, this sounds like a practical application of system safety where it's real time and it's real something that you can see right there without so much of the risk in a situation, an emergency situation, but it's like a practical application on a daily basis, I guess you would say.
Exactly right. I mean, if you listen to the radio with the flight schools flying and you hear them practicing engine-out landings, that's a norm for us. And the first time that you ever land a glider in a field or on off-airport landing, no matter how much flight time you have, it's definitely an experience that you'll remember. I've landed off-field about a dozen times now, and never scratch the glider. But it takes planning, it takes proper decision making, and knowing when to go from soaring to I have to make a landing.
Right, and a lot of that gets back to knowing your weather, knowing your glider, knowing the performance, and your pre-flight preparation, and not only for the aircraft, but the weather and for you personally. All those things are factors there, and that goes right back to that system safety. Let's talk just a minute about SSA, Soaring Society of America. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Soaring Society of America is an organization in the USA that handles everything from competitive soaring to flight instruction to aviation safety. It's primarily a volunteer organization. It's based in Hobbs, New Mexico. They have an excellent website called SSA.org. You can find out what a glider looks like. You can see a great photo gallery of events that have occurred throughout the United States. It'll give you information on where to find a location to fly, whether it's a club or a commercial operation. And it just gives you a wealth of information about soaring.
All right, and that website, again, for the Soaring Society of America was ssa.org, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I'm a little remiss here. I should have mentioned your website right here in Central Florida at the Seminole Lake Gliderport, and it's soarfl.com, is that correct?
That's correct. We call it soarflorida.com, and that'll tell you where the operation is located and what we offer.
Well, you know, that's pretty simple, soarflorida.com, but it's soarfl.com. And is there a telephone number that they can call?
The telephone number there is on the website, and I'll have to look at my telephone right here and get that number for you.
Okay. And while you're doing that, we'll talk a little bit more about the Soaring Society of America, because for years the FAA, as they were doing testing of the glider pilots, that's the reference books that we use, the Soaring Society of America. And this goes way back when, and it's a rich historical aviation event, and there's lots of information on that SSA site about that. Lots of safety information. Did you come up with that phone number yet?
Yes, it's area code 352-394-5450, and they're open Tuesdays through Sundays. They're closed on Monday.
Tuesdays through Sundays. Okay. All right, and let's talk just a minute about the seniors. It's now, what is the seniors? Where is it? When does it happen? All those things there.
The Seniors National Soaring Championship is located at Seminole Lake Gliderport. It's been put on for the last 22 years, and it's the greatest combination of soaring talent over the age of 55. You have to be 55 years or older. It's the first soaring contest in the United States at the beginning of our competitive year. Last year, we had 29 former national champions and one world champion. 3 years ago, we actually had four former world champions flying in the competition. It is the most competitive soaring competition that we have in the U.S.
Really? And it's right here in Central Florida.
It's right here in Central Florida. We normally have anywhere from 55 to 62 gliders competing. It's open to the public. Our takeoffs are normally between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the landing time is between 4 and 5 o'clock. The date of the event is March 10th through the 17th this year, and we're looking forward to having a lot of good guys that come on out there. Doug Jacobs, our U.S. world champion, will be out there competing this year.
Are there people that the general public who is not a flying type person that people could talk to about soaring, or do they have to stay behind the fence or what?
We have areas roped off for the observers, and you'll see all the glider crews will be mingling with the crowd. So you can go over, talk to the folks when the people land. You can go over, take a look at their aircraft. And most of the aircraft that come up for the seniors aren't put in the hangars. They're actually put in their trailers. So you can watch a glider taken apart in about 10 minutes and stowed back in its travel trailer.
So they don't actually fly them in. They bring them in by trailer, and then they launch from there and then come back and put them back in the trailer. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. It's more like a mobile hangar.
And where do these people come from? You said all over the United States?
All over the United States. We even had Janusz Cieka, who was the Polish world champion, flew with us a few years ago. So he obviously came in from Poland. But we'll have people coming in from California, Albuquerque, New Mexico, up and down the East Coast. Pretty much every state is represented here at the Senior National Championship.
Wow. And this has been going on for 22 years, you said?
Years.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, we'll be sure and bring a film crew out there and interview you again on video next time there at the seniors activity there. Now, is there any cost for the public coming in here? If so, what would the prices be, or is that online?
Absolutely no cost to the public at all. They can come on down and watch us take off. The most impressive thing is to watch the landing, because we'll have 60 gliders land within about 10 minutes of from the first to the last guy, and so with no capability of going around. It's really a treat to watch. People are safe. They clear the runway, even though they don't have a motor. The runway is 4,000 feet long by 500 feet wide, so we can actually land two abreast.
All right. What about is food and bathroom facilities? And if somebody wanted to stay overnight, are there some motels close by or something like that? Or yeah, how close is it to Orlando, or some of those needs that we have?
The Seminole Lake Glider Port is about 14 miles due west of the Magic Kingdom. So there's quite a bit of hotels in the area. Highway 27 is fairly close to where the glider port is, and there's a number of hotels that are along there. We do have bathroom facilities. During the seniors, though, the apartments that are located on the airport are normally used by the competitors. However, if you are going to go get a glider rating, if you're already a power pilot, you can come on in and stay on the airport property for 3 days, and it makes it a little bit easier.
Wow, that's wonderful. And I guess there'll be more information on the website as we get closer to the seniors. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. We've been talking with Rich Owen, who is the contest chairman. Is that the correct title?
I'm the contest manager, which is like the support person. So everything from taking applications, ranking the pilots, making up their pilot packages, giving them the rules for the airport, setting up meals, trophy presentation, banquets, everything other than the actual launch and recovery phase is controlled by the contest manager. We have a competition director. His name is John Good. He's been doing this for quite a number of years. He was on the U.S. soaring team. He holds a couple of national soaring records, and he's a great soaring pilot, and he's our competition director. He handles everything from launch to recovery of the last aircraft.
Well, it sounds like lots of activities rather than just flying around in an airplane or a sailplane up there that you just described there as the seniors contest manager. It seems like you're going to have a busy week there.
One nice thing about the soaring competition is we'll also have satellite trackers in the aircraft, so people who are watching can look up on a flat screen TV screen and see where everybody is during the contest on course.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. We've been talking with Rich Owen, who is the seniors contest manager for an event that will be happening between the 10th and 17th of March of 2013. This is OB Young with Managing Safety. We'll see y'all next time. Wishing you blue skies and tailwinds. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Thank you there, Obi. We'll see you out there.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety. brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.